Welcome back to Hero Talk with Talix and Trev. I'm Talix.
And I'm Trev.
And today, we're going to throw it back to something that we did a little bit last year, but we got a little bit more information that we can use this year with. We're going back to the Battle Royal, and we're bringing some new opponents into the arena. So let's see who wins this. Alright, so let's lay down a couple of ground rules for this Battle Royale. Okay, so first ground rule, power levels. Everybody is at an equal power level. So that means that it doesn't matter if you have Luna Lovegood fighting against Vegeta. They're at a similar power level. So you're not just going to be able to say, oh, this person's just stronger than everybody else. No Planet Busters. It doesn't work that way. Second rule. The setting for this fight is the World Titan from Endgame, where they had to fight Thanos on his planet. So that has plenty of debris, so it has a lot of different objects that can be utilized, as well as it's a pretty open area as well. So not a lot of stuff to get in the way of stuff, but still an ability for you to utilize different things in your surrounding to your advantage. So that's the setting. And it's power leveling. How we're going to do this is we're not going to bore you guys with the way we set everything up. We're just going to jump into the actual fights themselves. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about each of our teams in the next segment. And then after that, we're going to come back with the battle lines drawn up. And then we'll debate who wins what. Also, there will be a time limit to the fights. They're not going to be, you can't fight for like 5 days straight. So they're going to be time limits to the fight. So, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. So, now it's time for us to reveal who the teams are. Now, if we have a crossover between that, then we'll come back a little bit later and then we'll replace the members on the team that will be kind of ended up on the thing. So that's something that we'll do. But I doubt that we'll have the same people on each of our teams. So, Trev, would you like to go first and introduce your team?
Sure. Okay, my first member is Sasuke Uchiha. My second member is the Third Raikage.
Okay.
Third member is Ultra Instinct Goku, and it is the mastered version.
All right.
And fourth is Kakashi.
Okay.
Fifth, Uraraka.
Okay.
Sixth, Tenten.
All right.
Seventh, Neji.
Mm-hmm.
Eighth, Mike Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Nine, Rock Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And 10, Minato Namikaze.
Okay, so you have a pretty strong team. Now, interestingly enough, we almost had a crossover, but I ended up changing them because I had picked Rock Lee at first, but I ended up pulling him out. Now, I think that, a lot of these characters that we're talking about that Trevor picked kind of came from Naruto, which is something that he's been watching as of recent, and we still need to do a full episode on that, but he's going to finish watching the actual series before we get to that part. So we're going to get there, but some of those characters we haven't really discussed in depth yet. So with that being in mind, I think Trevor kind of handicapped himself by not getting enough variety in what he could do. Because your team is cool and awesome, but my team, Gilderoy Lockhart, Captain Ginyu, Captain Marvel, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, The Flash, Katsuki Bakugo, Leroy Green, Miles Morales, and T'Challa himself, the Black Panther.
Okay. One question.
Okay, what question do you have?
About the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be fair. He'd be able to just run circles around everybody and make a tornado.
Yeah. Swoop
up.
And? You should have picked the Flash.
No.
It's too late now. No. So we're going. No. Wait, this is you can't debate this yet because that was my team that we picked. So the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to go off air for a second, and then we're going to draw up who fights who. And then once we draw those things, we'll come back and start debating who fights who, okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll be back shortly. All right, so we have deliberated, and it took a little bit of painstaking argument just to get to this point, but we figured out the people that are going to be battling. So in the first battle, it's going to be Gilderoy Lockhart versus Kakashi. We're going to have Captain Ginyu versus Mineta. We're going to have Captain Marvel versus the Third Raikage. Iron Man versus Tintin. Doctor Strange versus Sasuke. Flash versus Uravity or Uraka. Bakugo versus Neji. Leroy Green versus Ultra Instinct Goku. Miles Morales versus Rock Lee. And Black Panther versus Mike Guy. So those are the battles that we're going to have coming up.
Oh, also Iron Man and Tintin.
We said that.
You did?
Yep. That's number four. Okay. But nevertheless, we made sure we got it right. All right. So, since I picked this one, I want to go ahead and introduce this fight. Gilderoy Lockhart, defense against the dark arts teacher at Hogwarts versus the copy ninja, Kakashi. Mm-hmm. So, how is Kakashi going to beat my boy Gilderoy?
Well, this is hard because anything we do, anything I do with Kakashi would just, like, end his life. Okay, well, with that, I would actually do a sealing jutsu.
Okay.
Or, nope, never mind, not a sealing jutsu. I would use a summoning jutsu and do exactly what the dogs did to Zabuza. Just like lock him up. He can't move. He can't get out of it in any way. And even if he does, it'll just keep on going and going until he gives up.
Ah, which is good, which is smart against most everybody else. Except for Gilderoy Lockhart. And this is the reason why I picked Gilderoy against Kakashi. Because Kakashi's strength is, number one, his knowledge and being able to break down what he's seen from other people, right? He's mm-hmm. actually able to break down what he's seen from other people and know what's going on and figuring stuff out. Problem is, Kakashi, for the most part, outside of like jutsus and stuff like that, has not come across magic. And the thing that Gilderoy Lockhart has, the one spell that he is good at, is Obliviate. And what's the one thing that happens when you get hit with Obliviate? You forget everything and don't know who you are. So he's just going to Obliviate Kakashi before Kakashi can analyze it. Even if Kakashi immobilizes him, he can still move his wand and say Obliviate. It hits Kakashi because Kakashi gets hit a lot of the time. He gets hit a lot of the time with stuff. With him not being able to know what's going on, match is over because Kakashi's just going to wander off.
I will actually use that against you. There is a motion. With that motion, he can tell that he's about to get attacked. So, he can move. And all he has to do while he's moving is charge up his Mangekyo Sharingan, and then that won't even kill him. It'll just send him in between space and time.
Well, if you send somebody in between space and time, there's no air to breathe, so they probably would kill him. Also, he hasn't been able to move an entire person. We haven't been able to see him move an entire person with that move, as well as the Obliviate spell itself. It's more so a motion than a flick, and it's like an instant transmission to where it's going. So it's not so much as he's got to do a seal or jutsu like that.
Actually, I think this might work. I can't remember when. Actually, I think I know what will work. I think just think that all he has, he doesn't even have to suck up Gilderoy Lockhart. He doesn't. All he has to suck up is his wand.
Yes, that would be true, but he would actually have to be seeing the wand do the spell first. That's the point. Kakashi is good at deducting stuff that he's seen, but once the Obliviate hits him, he's not going to remember anything. And it's beyond him having to break out of something, because it's just going to be nothing there. It's going to be a blank wipe.
Never. Actually, this one, I can actually win. Because as soon as the battle starts, Gilderoy Lockhart might do a spell. All Kakashi has to do, dodge it, put him under a genjutsu. Or, without even giving him time, put him under a genjutsu.
That also requires that Gilderoy has to be looking at Kakashi. And we both know that Gilderoy is a coward. So he's not going to be looking straight at Kakashi in the eyes.
If he won't, then he's probably not looking at him at all. Meaning, he can't aim.
Yeah, he can aim because that's what he's good at. The Obliviate spell is aiming, and I think the spells are pretty much homing for the most part as well.
I'm trying to think of...
Like, that's the whole reason I picked this fight. I don't think that Gilderoy, like, in a straight-up fight is going to beat Kakashi, but I think that he knows enough defensive spells to be able to knock back whatever jutsus get thrown at him either way as well. Because he was a defense against the Dark Arts teacher. He might not have been the greatest one, but he still was a defense against the Dark Arts teacher.
Actually, I think I know a way to beat him. Okay. Kakashi is to the point where he can keep up with Sasuke.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw how fast Sasuke can mm-hmm. be. And Sasuke can keep up with Naruto.
Mm-hmm.
And Minato
mm-hmm.
is the but yellow remember, flash.
Remember, we're scaling, so everybody's equal.
That's not how that works.
Yes, it is.
The speed is what I'm talking about, though. So, if Minato gets called the yellow flash, that means that if Kakashi can keep up with Sasuke, who can keep up with Naruto, who is equal to the speed of the Yellow Flash, that means that he should be fast enough to make it to Gilderoy and knock him out.
He should be able to, but if he's got to hit, if he gets hit with the spell, it doesn't matter how fast he is.
He can. I'm saying as soon as he steps into the ring, can go. And if we're talking about Gilderoy Lockhart himself, he's the type of person who would just show off before he does anything. Leave himself wide open, just
no,
leaving his
you
arms
assume
out.
That, but that's just because in most of the cases he does that to kind of throw people off. Because he wants them to think that he doesn't know what's going on. And we also know Kakashi is the kind of person that'll just be like, he doesn't seem like he's threatening, so let me read my books that Jiraiya wrote for a second before I get serious.
No. If he knew this was a death battle.
It's not a death battle.
It is.
It's not a death
it's
battle.
It's a death battle.
We've already decided that we can't get nobody's going to die. So that's just it.
It's a death battle without dying.
No. No, 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 no. Gilderoy wins.
No.
Yes.
No, actually.
What?
The spell could be pretty fast, but at the same time, there is a transportation jutsu. All he has to do, use that, get behind him.
Transportation. So he'd have to use a transportation jutsu to get behind him and utilize that, right?
Yeah.
So even if he does that, Gilderoy could use, he could use a stupefy, he could use a cruciatus. He could use, because that's not going to kill him. So he's got an army of different spells he can utilize. That's the problem with Kakashi. He's not going to know how to deal with magic.
He doesn't have to deal with the magic. But what he does have to do then, is take the magic.
He can't take the magic. And then also, if you're talking about transportation jutsus, Gilderoy can both apparate and disapparate.
There's a way for me to win this.
It is, but you ain't got this one. Point, Alex. Second battle. Captain Ginyu versus Minato Namikaze.
Yep.
So.
Automatically win.
How?
Because all I have to do is, like you said, there's debris everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I can be free to literally throw my kunai mm-hmm. everywhere. So even if he tries to change with me, I am everywhere at this point. So even if he tries, he fails. And that's pretty much all he can do, is switch bodies with people. And if he misses, he's probably a boulder. Or a frog. Or anything else. So he can't touch me. And so all I have to do is hit him with a very, very, very tiny Rasengan. And I beat him.
Okay, that's actually a win. Because, like, my ace in the hole for that one was going to be utilizing the body transfer technique. But, as you said, Minato's fast enough to get around that. So, yeah. All right, third battle. Captain Marvel versus the third Raikage. Now, the problem that you walked into yourself with is this. It doesn't matter what you hit Captain Marvel with. You can't hurt her. She is nigh invulnerable. It took Thanos using the Power Stone to even knock her off of him. So, Thanos also went head up with the Hulk. So imagine, and that was without the Power Stone. That was just Thanos just going one-on-one with the Hulk. And beating the Hulk in the submission. So what is the Raikage going to do against a person that he can't hurt?
Here's the thing, though. I forgot to say that the third Raikage is a reanimator. Meaning, you have to get him to stab himself.
Mm-mm, you didn't specify.
Well, I didn't specify that he was alive.
That's
either.
Where we were going off of people being alive.
Okay, then. They are alive. They're just not in their physical body alive.
No, they have to be in their physical body. What's the point of having a fight if the person ain't in their physical body? Otherwise, we just having ghost fights. That's not relevant. So how's the third Raikage going to hurt somebody who can't be hurt?
Well, you see, Captain Marvel is probably going to be able to match up with his speed. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she's going to think she's able to just run into anything he takes. And that's
because
weakness.
She can.
That, her overconfidence is her weakness.
How?
Because if she's coming at me full speed, I'm coming at her full speed. With my, like, sharpest, like, that one finger technique thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's me basically stabbing every little bit of chakra that I have.
Right.
Straight through her. And she's just enforcing that.
That would be true if you could hurt her. But she's invulnerable. Her power comes from an infinity stone.
What in? Oh.
So, you need to have at least an infinity stone to hurt her.
But.
A person doesn't generate enough power to be equal to an infinity stone. So,
but
I'm not saying, outside of her being able to go head up and knock the Raikage out if she got a clean hit in, I'm just saying the Raikage, for whatever he does, can't hurt her at all. So, therefore, she'd not have a scratch on her.
Actually, The Raikages are known for having the strength of tailed beasts.
That's true.
If you look at how powerful.
Oh no, I don't. I'm not arguing that point at all, because the Raikages are strong and they are fast and they have lightning elements. But the problem with having a lightning element is that it's an energy-based element, which Captain Marvel is an energy-based element herself. Yeah.
But.
There ain't no buts.
There is a but.
There ain't no buts. You squiggling. You squiggling, but you about to get knocked out. There's nothing you can do.
But there is. I have one idea.
Okay, what is your idea?
The one idea that I have is the fact that I am very smart. And so with that, I think I found a way to beat her.
How?
Tire her out. Yes, it would tire me out too, but all I'm saying is that I don't need my lightning force field, which is chakra, which means burning chakra. Meaning, if she is a power-based element, and we are all equal, that means if she has infinite stamina, then I should.
Nope, that's different.
Well, she doesn't have infinite stamina.
She doesn't have infinite stamina.
So,
and neither does the Raikage have infinite stamina.
But she's using all of her power because she wants to try and knock me out in one hit.
No, she's not trying to knock you out one hit. I just said she's invulnerable, so she can tank whatever it is that you're throwing at her. Which means that whatever you're throwing at her is going to wear you out first.
Again, here's what I think.
You just said that was your what? No, that's it. We're done with that one. Two for me, one for you. All right, next battle. Iron Man versus 1010. What do you got?
I am very confident that 1010 will win.
Okay, and how so?
Because you didn't specify which suit he is using. So, pretty much, any suit he has probably doesn't stand a chance.
Not even the extremist suit? Which he was fighting Thanos with? Because all Iron Man has to do, because you got to think about it, Iron Man and 1010 are kind of similar types of fighters in which they both use a lot of projectile weaponry. But the thing about it is, you're not thinking about that I'm thinking about, is Iron Man is going to use the same kind of backpack technology he used against that he gave but Peter Parker.
Okay, so you get to choose.
Just
spin
him in space. Just put them in space. That's it. Put 1010 in space.
You get to choose. So you get to choose what suit you wear, but I don't get to choose if my Raikage is alive or not.
Yes, that is different. Choosing a suit is different from being alive or reanimated.
You can choose literally a suit that nothing can happen with. Actually. All Tenten has to do, since she is a walking weapon closet, is literally aim all her weapons, or her very strong ones, at the source of where it's all coming from, in which she should be able to outrun Iron Man. And if he's flying, the suit's not going to be able to just like, oh, I'm going this way, full speed, and then Tenten just stops, backflips over him or something. He's not gonna be able to just like immediately go right after.
That's true. She 1010's definitely gonna have a speed advantage in this fight.
And she has almost infinite weapons.
She does have a lot of weapons.
So if she's using like the bomb stuff that she carries or any of that other stuff, targeting the core would do a lot of damage.
It would do a lot of damage. And I think that that is a great thing. But I also think that Iron Man is a literal walking tank. So even though it would do a lot of damage, and I think the extremist suit would give the best chance to keep on going because it molds around him as it needs to, because it's nanotech. And so even if it were a situation where she keeps dropping in stuff at the core and stuff like that, it would still be a situation where he'd still, even if some of the suit parts got blown off, he'd be able to kind of move the suit around to the parts that needed to be protected.
Oh. Yeah, but at the same time, I think I know how I can deal with that.
What?
All I have to do is distract him to the point where it's just hand-to-hand combat.
Okay.
In which he can't get out of.
Okay, so we're going to say war of attrition. Tintin and Iron Man basically wear each other down. They both worn each other's weapons down. And it basically comes down to a hand-to-hand fight is what you're saying.
Yeah, well, not exactly. I was thinking more of like a storm of weapons, and then she just...
Well, I think that's what happened. Like, both of them were using their storms of weapons, and so both of them have used up all their energies, weapons, and all that stuff. And so then it comes down to a hand-to-hand fight. And in that case, if that's the case, then Tintin wins because Tintin is an actual ninja, and Iron Man sucks at hand-to-hand fighting.
Hello! My name is Jacob.
And I'm his co-host, 5-year-old Olivia.
Do you have kids?
And are your kids curious?
If you answered yes, you should check out Curious Kid Podcast, a weekly educational podcast for curious kids and grown-ups. Every week we learn about another topic.
We've already learned about spiderwebs, batteries, the moon, and so much more.
You can find us at CuriousKidPodcast.buzzsprout.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, next one, Doctor Strange versus Sasuke. Doctor Strange opens portal to another area. Sasuke loses.
How?
Because
describe this different area.
It doesn't matter. Because you think about it, he dropped Loki, who is a notoriously well-rounded magic user, into a portal to where he was falling for 30 minutes. And he couldn't get out of it. So, and Sasuke's Sharingan is not a transportation Sharingan. All his stuff is offensive capabilities. He has the Amaterasu and all that stuff, which is cool. But, Doctor Strange dropped him into a portal, which makes him fall for the time to run out. He's not in the ring anymore.
You can do that, but you see, that wouldn't necessarily work. It wouldn't do any damage.
It's not doing damage, but he's not in the ring, and Doctor Strange is the only person that did anything. And so, therefore, the match goes to Strange.
No, wait. Wait. What if he uses Susanoo? Before you destroy Sasuke with this, let me say this. Yes, Doctor Strange can open a portal wherever Sasuke is. It doesn't really matter how fast Sasuke is. And it doesn't matter
because
what
he can
protection.
Use the bands of Cinderac to keep Sasuke still. And we're not even talking about if he uses the portal to cut Sasuke in half. Now, we're also got one thing that you're forgetting about that you hadn't realized yet.
About
and I know you
who?
Hadn't realized yet.
About who?
Doc Strange.
Okay.
Because even if Sasuke won, or even if he figured out some way to get around stuff, Doc Strange has Time Stone. Rewind. Reset.
Actually, that might not be able to work. Remember when I asked you about, I'm not sure if we did it on air, but when I asked you about if I had Shisui and he didn't necessarily get to use Izanagi, he wasn't shown being able to do it, and you agreed to that? Well, here's where Doctor Strange would fall. All I'd have to do is use Izanagi. Yes, I'd lose eyesight in one eye, but that also mean he'd be stuck in an infinite time loop, clueless, because no matter what he does, doesn't matter. And then...
Well, see, that's also why it's a problem, because you gotta think about it. of all the characters that we have that will be able to deal with being stuck in a time loop in which he doesn't realize where he's at, with a person who's lived through all millions of different timelines to figure out which one was the one to actually beat Thanos, it's Doctor Strange.
Yeah, but at the same time,
who lives within a multiverse already.
Yes, I understand that. But then again, there's also something else. Something else that I can use. Like I said, we haven't seen him use it. Well, I haven't seen him use it yet. But he can use Tsukiyomi on him. Then all he has to do is make him forfeit.
That's true, if he were going to be allowed to do that. But as I said in the beginning, Doctor Strange is just going to orphan a portal and put him out of the way. Also, Doctor Strange is going to realize that I'm not going to sit here and look at this ninja to have this stuff happen to me.
Or, again, put him under, again, jutsu.
It's not going to work if he's not looking at him. That's the way that Sharingan works.
He has to focus on where he wants the portal to be. And if he has to focus, he has to be making eye contact.
No, he does not have to.
On that plane.
He does not have to. You've seen him do all his magic stuff when Thor was in his study and everything like that without looking at a lot of the things that's going on.
Another thing.
And you've seen him create huge rings. Just massive rings.
Yes, I have. But you want to know something.
And so he creates a massive ring, opens it out to space. Sasuke gets sucked out into the vacuum of space. It's over with. He's not going to kill Sasuke because as soon as Sasuke gets unconscious from being out there, he's just going to pull him back and put him into an area to where he's just out of the way.
But because of science, that cannot work.
It can work if you do it fast enough.
No, he'd freeze to death.
It wouldn't instantly. Freeze to death, not instantly. You don't freeze to death instantly.
Just like,
it freezes slowly.
Slowly.
And then, with it being Sasuke, he's probably going to try to wrap himself in Amaterasu, which is burning stuff to keep him from dying, and which is going to elongate the amount of time that Doctor Strange can keep him out there.
Or, which is another thing that I really hope could outsmart Dr. Strange, which it probably won't, but Izanagi. He can use that to stay alive.
He can use all that to stay alive. It's not going to be a problem. I'm not saying that Dr. Strange is going to try to kill him. I'm just saying Dr. Strange is going to remove him from the playing field, which is going to win.
Oh! Oh. That's why I have very many ninja on my team. Because what is one of Sasuke's specialties? The substitution. What also can he use? Shadow clones.
Very true.
Lightning clones.
That's true. But you also got to keep into account that Doctor Strange doesn't work within just the regular metaphysical world. He works in different universes. So he'd be able to look and be like, oh, that's a clone, that's a clone, that's a clone. That's the real one.
Yeah, you can say that. But while he's looking at
He can just know. That's what he does. That's Doctor Strange's ability. He is the Sorcerer Supreme.
Well, another thing I can do is summon a big old snake.
It doesn't matter. You're not going to get time to summon if you're in space.
Summon snake.
Another win for Team Talos. All right, next fight is the Flash versus Uraraka. Simply put, Uraraka cannot touch the Flash.
Yeah, but being the person that Barry is, he's gonna try and talk things out. Or try and do things the calmer way. And even if he does, he's gonna be on the ground for a little bit of time, meaning all she has to do is levitate the playing field and into different pieces, and he is everywhere. while he's trying to figure out what he needs to do, all she has to do, touch him, he's in air, he can do nothing.
Ah, you see, that's you're wrong at, because you automatically assume that because he's in the air that he can do nothing. But the thing about the Flash is he's used to being not on the ground. So he can utilize his whirlwinds that he creates with both his hands and or his feet to push him where he wants to go. And those same whirlwinds could also, while pushing him where he wants to go, because Uraraka can only focus on doing a small amount of things at one time, push her completely off the battlefield. Or utilize those whirlwinds to transport rocks at her. In which, if she's got rocks coming at her, what's she going to do? Try to float the rocks, right? And if she tries to float the rocks, she's going to have to drop the touch on the Flash. And if she does that, the instant she drops it, Flash comes through, boom, Uraraka down.
No, not exactly. Because
she's not fast enough to get him. Like, if she can get him one time, yeah, okay, we'll go with that one. But she's not going to have more than one time where she can touch the Flash. And the Flash, while we automatically assume that he doesn't have this ability to be able to think on his feet, he thinks very fast, as we've seen him be able to read books in literal seconds. So he can think super fast. We saw he was thinking in Flash time in that episode, to where they had to figure out how to stop a bomb within 10 seconds. So they were working within Flash time at that point. So him being able to think for 10 seconds gives him hours of thought processing time.
You know what? I have one thing to say about that.
What?
You see, here's where you're wrong. All I have to do is touch him and try and just like, and jump, try and get up there, push him down. And even if he does his whirlwinds, I don't even have to push him. I can throw the rocks at him. Anything I can do to break his arms and legs.
Well, the problem is that Flash is fast enough to deal with it. Even if you throw something at the Flash, he's going to be able to run on top of what you threw at him. That's how fast the Flash is.
But then again,
we got to think about it. The Flash has been able to outrun literal lightning itself. This man is fast enough to run in and out of time stones. So there was one time where the Flash ran so fast, he made a speed clone, and it was two Flashes at the same time on the planet. So Uraraka is not fast enough to deal with that. Uraraka isn't even fast enough to deal with Ida if he's going out full strength.
Actually, she doesn't even have to float him. She can float herself.
That's true. And if she's floating herself, she's just a balloon floating in the air. And we also know that her being utilizing her float technique makes her nauseous. So anytime that she sits still, being motion sick, it's over with. Flash is just going to come back, chop the neck, knock out.
Wait a minute. I know a way that I can win. You see, she's not very strong.
Nope.
So, most things you do could end up backfiring.
It could, but she's still a regular person at a regular person's speed. And the Flash moves at almost light speed. So even if she tries to hit him, he sees her like she's moving through slow motion water. Because you got to think about it. If we look at the Flash when he was in Justice League and Batman threw the Batarang at him and he saw the Batarang coming, looked at it, watched it go by, and then went and got the Batarang before Batman was able to pull his hand back from throwing it. That is how fast the Flash is. There's nothing you could do to touch him.
But what
there is no but. You can't touch him.
What you said.
No, he's not going to be able to, like, outclass or empower anything like that. And everybody's power is going to be about level. So even, I think that Uraraka's power is going to be amplified to where it will be comparable to what Flash's is. But the speed, outright speed, is not going to be matched.
But the setting.
Yeah, the setting gives a lot of opportunities.
I know. This is how it's going to work.
It's not going to work because you're probably going to say.
Should have.
Have what?
A very hot core.
Okay, and what's that going to do?
With that, all she has to do is take her quirk and push it all the way to the bottom and bring everything up, leaving just the core in the middle to where the only way he can stay up is on the debris and everything else. And that's eventually going to go to space.
And how is she
going to
stay up?
With the debris.
She can't. Because if she's floating all the debris, she's going to overuse her power and get nauseous. And that means she's going to fall into the core of the planet, even if that's possible. And if that's happened, Flash is going to have to save her.
And by saving her.
That's the only way that she can even not die. So she was going to be dead. So by default, Flash saving her ends the match anyway, because she was going to be dead either way it went. Yeah. That's another one for my team. All right. It's Big Boom himself, King Explosion Bakugo versus your boy Neji.
I feel like I won. And here is why. Neji, all he has to do is 32 palms. Not 64, but 32.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to completely kill him by stopping all of his energy. So he'll do that, and then he'll beat him to a point to where...
But I think that Bakugo will let off a nice explosion at that time.
You know what?
And catch him with the howitzer impact. Boom!
Yeah, but at the same time, Neji can defend against every explosion Bakugo throws at him. All he has to do...
I think he can defend against strikes, but would he be able to defend against explosions?
Yes, with his wind. Push it away. He can do his little... He can do his, like, 8 trigrams palm rotation.
Mm-hmm.
That there is enough to stop him from being able to hit him. And while he's stepping back, boom! Already there. All he has to do is strike him really hard. Right where, like, the chakra starts and builds up. And he shouldn't be able to move.
That's true. He should be able to move. But the problem with Bakugo is that his quirk isn't one that's an emitter quirk. It's just his sweat is glycerine, which is able to blow up. So he doesn't have to have any output of his power. His sweat glands already create all the power for himself.
But
if Neji's close enough to hit him in the chest, he's also within Bakugo's glove range, and which means that he gets a high concentrated power of explosion to the side of his face. And also, at that moment, he's not going to be able to utilize all of his methods of defense at that time.
But at the same time, we don't know if Neji can do any other stuff other than Byakugan concentrated things. And so just saying, he might be able to use a shadow clone or two.
Okay. Even with that, I think that Bakugo will be able to blow him up, or at least do enough damage to the shadow clones to figure out which one's the real Neji.
Well, again, here's what I think is going to happen. What I think is going to happen is Neji, all he has to do is pretty much knock him out. And then he might be able to have his sweat, but he won't be able to use it. Because it might kill him It might, but at the same time, with the strength of him, I think he will be able to take this attack. I will go 128 palms, which would completely knock him out. Then, walk him to the sidelines, throw him up.
If he's knocked out, then he's out. This is like, there's nothing else to. Okay. I think that's pretty much a good. I like Bakugo, but at the very same time, I think Neji's defense in this case kind of creates a situation where Bakugo can't really get through to him. Now, I do think that one thing that Bakugo probably could utilize in this situation is probably he could use the flash grenade to blind Neji to where he wouldn't be able to see as well. But at the very same time, I think that his Byakugan probably will be able to kind of go counteract that. But I haven't really seen Neji have to deal with something like that. So I think we'll go with Neji on that one. So it's 3-4 my way right now. Next fight, Leroy Green versus Ultra Instinct Goku.
Well, you already know he's going to win. If you want to debate it, sure. You cannot touch him. You are a normal human with freakishly big hair.
In this one, I think that you kind of slipped up and didn't kind of think this through.
Yeah,
because what is the glow other than the person becoming their truest self? So, you look within to find who's the master. And so they've mastered their own glow, which allows them to hit to an enlightened state that allows them to fight without thinking, to know without seeing.
Yeah, but
therefore, it is a similar state to Ultra Instinct.
And so basically, neither of them can. Actually, yes, but from what was going on, the moves were very concentrated, and so what I think is gonna happen is that Goku, I'm not saying this as him overpowering this everybody, I'm saying this right now, Goku can fly, and Leroy can't. He has to do is blow up the ring, and then fly. He has no chance of going anywhere else other than running away or forfeit. In which, can't really do nothing.
I can't argue with that one. I think you have another win on your hands. All right, so we got this fight, which is Rock Lee versus Miles Morales.
Okay. Well, with this can go either way. Because,
now, I'll say this much. I think that Rock Lee is a tremendously fast character. And I think he's a tremendously powerful character. Problem is that Rock Lee is a very straightforward character. Now, what is Spider-Man's greatest power?
His webs?
Nope, not his webs.
There's so many Spider-Man. Okay, so maybe Miles
Morales. Or basic Spider-Man powers. I mean, we're just
lightning. Well, if we're talking about
Miles, he does have electricity powers, and he also has what?
Yeah, invisibility.
Invisibility, and but what is his greatest power?
Is athletics?
No, not even that. That's not his greatest power.
I don't know.
Okay, the only reason Miles Morales or Spider-Man wins in the fight, because I think that the speed and the power and the endurance and the athleticism are comparable in most of the fights in this situation. The one thing that Rock Lee has going against him is that, A, he is a strictly taijutsu fighter, which means he only uses hand-to-hand combat. And Spider-Man has spider sense, which basically means that whatever Rock Lee is going to do, Spider-Man is going to feel it coming and be able to dodge it.
Yeah, but here, I'm not ready to give up the title of being tied. I am going to say this. Yes, he has webs, but at the same time, he can pretty much shoot fire out of his hands. If you wanted to.
Is that Rock Lee or is that Mike Guy we're talking about?
If you're doing this, if they're both, if Guy is doing it, then we can do it.
We know we've got to see him do it. We can't just assume that he can do it.
Well, then, he has more speed than Miles does. So, even if he can feel it coming, he won't be able to dodge it. He might know, and he might be able to defend against it, but at the same time,
he's But that's not... the thing about spider sense, because the spider sense is going to tell him, oh, this is going to come super fast, so he's going to be able to dodge it. That's the point. Because normally, yes, nobody would be able to deal with it. Like when Sasuke got met up against Rock Lee the first time and Sasuke couldn't deal with it, that was because Sasuke was watching it happen. Miles is going to know what's happening before he even sees it happen. Because it's so many times that people try to get sneak attacks on Spider-Man in which they don't allow him, he doesn't even allow people to hit him. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the spider sense is so strong that even if that Spider-Man uses that as a way for him to use his webbing, like he doesn't see where he uses his web. He just shoots it out because he's just like, okay, the spider sense is telling me that's the safe place for me to throw it to.
But I'm going to use this against you. Like you said, that he could see it, that, well, he knew it was going to happen before it happened. Even if he reacts on time, which he really can't because of Rock Lee's speed, if he reacts late, he's going to get kicked. If he reacts early, then we will see that it immediately Shift directions,
and then that also shifts the spider sense, which also shifts Miles' actions.
But
and also, Miles has free range of the area because of number one, Rock Lee can't see him because he's got invisibility, and off Rock Lee connects. We know that Rock Lee is also susceptible to electricity, as well as he has free range of motion because we're in Titan. Which is one of the reasons this fight right here was one of the reasons why I chose Titan, because it has all those various rock formations that the Spider-Man can maneuver around and utilize to his advantage.
It is fair because you chose it.
No, hell, you shouldn't have let me choose it.
You
need
to
choose. You need to choose the fight. You need to choose the battleground next time.
Well, so wait, I still have some tricks up my sleeve.
Oh, you better hurry it up.
Okay. First trick. Okay. Since Lee is very smart, he will notice.
That's debatable if he's smart. I don't know if Lee's that smart, but keep going.
Well, this is a Goku situation. He might not be smart overall, but in battle, he knows everything there is to know. Or learned it immediately. So, after a little bit of time, he'd be able to know that he has the sense, meaning he knows he has to step it up and make it hard for him to understand.
But that doesn't matter. Spider sense sees through it. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. It doesn't matter how he adjusts it. The spider sense still feels it. And that is the brokenness of the power of the spider sense.
Yeah, but another situation. There, from what we've seen, there is so many times that he felt what was about to happen, or literally any other more experienced Spider-Man sensed where it was going to happen, and yet they weren't able to react to it.
No, those are in certain situations in which you can't react to it, i.e. dealing with Venom and stuff like that, or dealing with a Spider-Man that hasn't fully acclimated into himself. We're talking about end of Into the Spider-Verse Spider-Man Miles Morales. We're not talking about beginning of the movie where he wasn't able to deal with the stuff. So that is what we're dealing with. We're also, I'm telling you, like, we're dealing with Miles Morales that was able to fight within the void of different universes being collapsed upon each other, where you got rail cars from one universe and buildings from another universe, all that stuff converging while the Kingpin is trying to hit him. It's like, once he acclimated to himself, the Kingpin couldn't do anything to him, which Kingpin is a straight hand-to-hand fighter, which is much akin to Rock Lee's fighting style, i.e. Spider-Man, Spider-Sense.
At the same time, he's going to have to defend. He's not going to be able to dodge all the time. Yeah,
that's what Spider-Man's power. That's Spider-Man's fighting style.
I know, but if he's going to defend at some point. And so, we will be... If you're talking about Spider-Sense, he's gonna attack in a way that's not very forward, meaning webs. Knowing this, he will see where the webs are coming from. A shooter, a web shooter. What's he gonna do? He's gonna take advantage of it and destroy
but
it.
But that's the point. If he's gonna be able to try to take advantage of it and hit it, that means he'd already be able to hit Miles. But he's not going to hit Miles because Miles is not going to let him. That's the point. All of this is predicated off of Miles being able to be hit by Lee, and Miles ain't going to let it happen.
Okay, here. I'm throwing out everything.
You might want to save that for your legs for your last fight, whatever your thing is, because you have similar fighting styles between this fight and the next fight.
But this is the only way I can win this one.
Because it's not going to happen. Spider-Sense is broken. I'm sorry. It is a fighting power that is something that you don't want to meddle with. All right. 5-4 my way. All right. We're back down to our final fight of the day. The score is 4-5. So this is going to end up either in a tie or this is going to end up 6-4 my way. And the final fight, Black Panther versus Mike Guy. Now, Black Panther is hand-to-hand combat, one of the best fighters on the earth. He is a master of all regular known martial arts, as well as Wakandan martial arts. As well as, he has a vibranium-powered suit, which is nigh invulnerable, as well as takes damage in and sends the very energy back out that he is on.
But
absorbed.
You never established the suit.
Of course, the Black Panther is the Black Panther. Come on now.
You could have said which suit in which we're going to the boat.
So what do you got? What do you got? What is that little mind thinking?
Well, my little mind is thinking that Guy would be too fast for, he'd be too fast for anything that John would be able to do. So that's not a problem. And with his strength, that's only going to backfire against me. So, with that, I'm going to get him to use his small little brain, just like mine. And actually, I might actually win this one. Okay. So,
you're doing a lot of speculating. Come on, man. Okay. What's what you got to say?
Okay. Guy breaks the he just like destroys the ring, leaving debris flying up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's him in the air against Black Panther in the air. He'd be absorbing Guy's attack, forgetting that there wouldn't be any ground below him, because he's so focused on trying to absorb and shoot it back out. In which, him doing that, he'd be distracted from the fact that there isn't anything below him. And so, with Guy attacking him, pushing him down to where there's nowhere else to go, he's gonna have to forfeit. Or he's gonna get beaten out of the ring.
Okay. I think that in this case, yeah, I think that, Guy's endurance, as well as his speed, as well as his power, kind of overrides Black Panther by a lot. I'm not saying that it automatically, like, power scales out of him, but I think that the skills that Guy has, because Black Panther is a real close-range fighter, and we've seen other close-range fighters, i.e. Killmonger, beat Black Panther in a straight-up fight, so I think that Mike Guy, who was a taijutsu master, would be able to defeat him, as well as he'd probably be able to utilize, which that's the morning peacock or the evening tiger or the elephant attacks on him.
Or even shoot fireballs at him.
Yeah. I think that's the morning peacock attack where he uses the fireball. So, yeah, I think that is a fight win for Mike Guy. Which brings us, at the end of our 10 rounds, to an even 5-5.
Tiebreaker!
Okay, so that was actually pretty fun. I think that battle royal actually ended up being a lot more in-depth, because this episode is going to be a lot longer than our normal episodes are, just because of some of these segments that we've had ended up being like 10-minute segments. So, that was a lot of fun. I think that we had a lot of fun kind of doing it. I think the next time we do this, we're going to have to kind of like vary up our teams, and as we're kind of going along, we're kind of adding different people that we can utilize, because last time we didn't have Leroy Green available. We didn't have any of the Naruto characters available. And so we're kind of adding stuff in. And there were a couple of people that I left on the sideline. Like, I was going to go with Red Ranger from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, or else I was going to think about using Leonardo from the Ninja Turtles, but I had to kind of like pull some different people out. So I thought that was a lot of fun. So what I would like for you guys to do that are listening at home is to tell us, who do you think will win? Or who do you think should have won? Or who would be a great person to be in this battle royal the next time we do this? You can always hit us up at Hero Talk 1 on Twitter. You can hear us up at Hero Talk TT on Instagram. You can hit us up at HeroTalkTT@gmail.com with us an email. We're on Facebook with Hero Talk with Talis and Trev. We also have a YouTube page with a funny YouTube video that we have out already. We're going to be looking at doing some different YouTube videos in the future as well. So we're going to be utilizing those measures to be able to do something like that. And I think that is it. We are a part of the Podicon Go family network, in which we are utilizing that to kind of spread our podcast with other podcasts. So you've also heard ad earlier today from another podcast, in which we want you to go check them out and tell them that we came by to say hey. Now this, like I said before, was a lot of fun, and so I'm just ready to wrap everything up. Was there anything else that you wanted to add, Trev?
Nope.
Okay, then let's wrap this thing up, because this has been Hero Talk with Talis and Trev. I'm Talis.
And I'm Trev.
Because when there are some heroes,
we talk
or debate like we did today.